Blog Talk Radio.
July 30th, about getting to the end of summer, as well as for those in some of the states, school has started or school starts on tomorrow. And so I know the kids are not happy about that, but all the parents are jumping up and down, screaming and hollering how great that is. one of the things that summer, this summer to me went kind of fast. Weather was kind of an issue where I am, and usually summers are just fun and a lot of barbecuing and all those kind of things goes on. I didn't see a lot of that where I am. What about you guys? Did you have I know in Florida that's something consistent, but Frank, was it a lot of, did the weather allow for a lot of outside activities in Virginia?
It does allow for a lot of outside activities. We got a lot of bugs too, but it's, people come to our region because we have a ocean front on the East Coast, and then below us is Nag's Head, Outer Banks area. So we get a lot of outside activities this time of year.
Okay, that should be fun. I noticed that something I see happening again, and I don't know if it's all over, but I noticed that I see more kids outside than I did before. Not a lot of them, but a few, and most of them I see stay in the yard. They don't go visiting or up and down the street and ride bikes all over. They go, if they're on bikes, they go up and down in front of the house, but they don't go like we used to do, go out in the morning and don't come back at night. At least I do see them out getting some fresh air and stuff. I know that I had a conversation with Bruce, and Bruce, you had a subject you wanted to talk about. Why don't you go ahead and bring that up?
All right, I will. I want your opinion, gentlemen, on a topic we talk about a lot, but I'm gonna put a little different perspective on it. That's racism. We all know what that's about. I was thinking about this and talking to some people at church today, and So I looked up the basic definition of racism, because we all tend to skew it one way or the other, and it said prejudice, discrimination, or directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that one's own race is superior. And then a synonym, which is I want to use in my discussion, is radical prejudice. And I thought to myself, and I talked to David about this, wouldn't it be nice if it doesn't really say that race has to do with color? It's interesting that we've made it that, and I know it is that, and that's the trigger. But wouldn't it be nice if we could, instead of having racism always being negative, that let racism to one degree be a positive? And in this way, one of the things that all races seem to have in common and struggle with among themselves across racial lines is crime. We've talked about that over and over and over. And the people coming in, illegal immigrants, regular immigrants, and people that aren't immigrants. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if we could somehow put in our discussion racism based on crime, not on color. In other words, a radical prejudice against crime that would let us, if the only reason I want to use the word racism is it would be a different way of using it, and it would incite discussion, because people, you know what would happen. People would say, well, how can you talk about racism in a positive way? Well, if we all, different races, went after crime as fervently as racism seems to be in our culture, what a difference that would make. So I wanted to get your opinion on whether it can practically happen or not, whether it's a goal we ought to be trying to reach. What do you think, Frank?
Well, I think it's a far-fetched, idealistic thought process, okay? I mean, just you shook my foundation just on your last part about crime, okay, based
right.
on crimes. So let me just say this. Frank is not crying a whole lot in America, okay? I'm not crying. You know, America hasn't been rough on Frank, all right? But there are certain things you come in and you really have to understand. In other words, if you did it like you said on crime, then that would be the belief that everybody is treated fairly, all right? And that's a hard belief for me to consume in this country or in this world, okay? Now, I deal with this country more than I deal with the rest of the world. So that would be to say that everything is fair and you would just dislike those people who are crime prone. But we know that certain people are not criminalized who have done crimes, and that certain populations of people are criminalized for minor crimes, for instance, that are made into major things, such as longer prison sentences. You know, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. O.J. Simpson would be a great example.
Right.
On both hands. He'd be on one hand, he didn't get convicted. Maybe he should have. And the other hand, he got convicted for a Keystone Cop thing and sentenced to a minimum, I think, of 9 or 10 years, up to 30 years. I mean, which
right.
is ridiculous, which is ridiculous. So that's my input to that. I you know, your synopsis is great, but I think what we really need to tackle is, you know, how we got to where we are right today and how we get to a better position than the one we're in. And I think that one of the things that they're handling is not only the racism issue, but the political issue, the political process issue as well. So that's my input back to you.
Okay. Hey, Ron, what do you think?
Well, I'm glad you asked me because I actually have, I think, something that all of you will find interesting to say about this topic. But before I say that, let me just preface that by saying that, and we've talked about this before, that racism is not something you're born with, because we all know that little
right.
kids are not racist, and, you know, they get along with anybody. It doesn't matter what color they are.
Right.
So we know that it's something that is learned. But I also want to say that I think everybody has some degree of racism, whether you're black, white. And, you know, some have more, some have less. But I think everybody has some degree of racism. Everybody that's an adult, I should say. And if we say, you know, and I've said it myself, too, that I'm not a racist. But, you know, it's really not true. I mean, there is a little bit of racism, and I have to admit it. So having said that, you know, going back to what you were saying, Bruce, about basing it on crime versus somebody's race, you know, I find that very interesting. And actually, many, many, many years ago, when Miami was having a big, big skyrocketing crime problem, I came up with an idea that I shared it with a few people, but, you know, that's all that I ever did with it. And my idea was the following, because, you know, tourists, Miami, you know, thrives on tourism, of course, and tourists were getting robbed because they were getting off of exits from the highways and getting lost, and they didn't know where they were, and they ended up getting robbed. So my idea was, you know, come up with a system, red, yellow, and green, and that you put like a little dot on the highway exit sign that, you know, based on the crime rate for that area. So not based on who lives there.
Not based on
who lives there, but just based on the crime rate for that area. So if it's, you know, a low crime area, it would be a green, and obviously, you know, the flip side of that would be a red. But of course, you know, I know the ACLU would be all over that, because, you know, for the reasons that you know, Frank just mentioned, you know, and which I agree are true. So I don't know that it can be done.
Ryan, if I can interject, couldn't it help us focus more on, let's say I'm in a yellow district and you live in that yellow district and Frank lives in that yellow district, and we all say, we don't like being a yellow dot. We want to be a green dot or whatever it is. You know what I'm trying to say.
Right.
I would tend to think it might pull us closer together, because the commonality of the problem isn't the color of your frickin' skin. It is the problem of crime. It's
that's a good point.
Hold on. Frank is right. It's not distributed fairly, but at least crime is more across the board on something we can fight against together than struggling about whose skin color is. You know what I'm trying to say?
It's like failing schools. You know, schools that are F-rated and D-rated, the teachers and the principal, they all rally to bring it up to a B or an A school. So I think it's the same kind of concept.
And we can say, oh, it'll never happen. Well, it won't if we never try.
I know it's a far-fetched idea, and it's probably not treating everybody fairly. But, you know, it was a thought that I had back then.
Okay. How about – who else do we have on the line, David, besides –
There's Don.
Don, are you there? Oh, Don. No.
Hey, while you're waiting
Bruce, I didn't hear your intro. I didn't hear your intro real well, but I've been listening. We were talking about race and racism. Is that correct?
But let me give you a quick, without going over it again. I gave the typical definition, the standard definition of racism. Then I said, wouldn't it be nice instead of, and one of the synonyms that I like is radical prejudice. So wouldn't it be nice if we could focus our radical prejudice at crime versus color, and use crime as more of a common element to pull us together, ironically, as crazy as that sounds, to solve crime versus pulling us apart because we have different color skin. Does that help at all?
Well, it sort of helps, because I don't think crime has they're two different issues. Racism and crime are two different issues, although it's been disproportionately spread among people of color, I think, in my opinion. But the thing is, I think that racism in a lot of other countries, it has to do with socioeconomic status opposed to color. It's only in America that it has to do with pigmentation, and where it's so bad with pigmentation. And it goes back to slavery. And address that issue, and if we address that issue, Bruce, if we say, listen, we made a mistake, we can't undo what our forefathers did. I'm sorry. Let's go forward. And that needs to be said. You can't give me my 40 acres and a mule, which you promised me, and but I can't accept apology, which you had nothing to do with.
Right, and it even goes deeper than that. We can't give the country back to the Native Americans.
Exactly.
Or we won't, will we?
So
I agree with you on that, and I guess I was thinking more, couldn't we take a very negative, radical term and try to turn it on its head and use a little different definition for us to come together to solve crime under radical prejudice / racism? I know people, and my only purpose in saying it that way is people would think we're nuts, and it sure would create a lot of dialogue, and dialogue is what we need. We don't have enough dialogue.
I agree.
Who haven't I asked?
John.
Jeremy, John or Jeremy, are you there or Shane?
John is there. Shane is coming in. So, but John.
Okay, John, what do you think, John?
You know, I've been sitting here kind of and listening, and I mean, I don't know what the answer is. You know, I'm fortunate with my company. I mean, you name them, you know, they're customers of mine, African-Americans, Pakistanis, Indians, Jews, Poles, Irish, Italian. You know, I don't know. I do like Don's answer regarding to the, you know, color coding of certain areas. You know, I know here living in Michigan, I mean, you know, the towns that you don't want to go to after dark and because of the crime, you know, Detroit, Flint, Benton Harbor, Muskegon, Saginaw, Pontiac, you know, so, how do you change it? I don't know. You know, you could actually, you know, coincide it with politics right now. How do you get Democrats and Republicans to work together? I mean, at this point, there's no working together. Everyone wants to work against each other. Everyone's opinion, you know, is right, and everyone else is wrong. And I don't see it getting any better, and I don't see any solutions.
Okay.
How about, thanks, John. How about, are you there, Jeremy? Are you in, or Shane? No? All right, David, you're on. What do you think?
Well, there are a couple of issues. I don't like the color coding for sure, because the color coding...
Well, right. We're back to color again, aren't we?
Well, but why not? I want to hear why not.
Because if the way the police department works is you have to have as many tickets as the other person in the other car, or you're not doing your job. And in a lot of these areas, there are more police officers because of that. So if you have one area with one cop and one area with 10 cops, which area is going to get the red sticker? The area with 10 cops, no matter if it's worse or better than the area with the one cop. So I don't
that system needs to change.
Well, then you have to start with the police department, because that's how they are graded. A police officer is graded on if you're doing your job. How come you're not doing your job? Because these officers over here have 20 tickets and you only have 3. So you must not be doing your job.
Maybe that's
David?
Part of the problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
yes,
right. You and me and the rest of us, to some degree, are starting to sound like politicians, aren't we? We've got reasons why we can't do something, and we're not really. But no, hold on, let me finish. I say that a little bit tongue in cheek, but we constantly hear of ideas other than what's going on at the moment for a certain cause that, well, we can't change it. We can't do this. Well, we can't do that because we haven't done it before. And I'm as guilty as anybody sometimes having that attitude, but so when does it ever change? When does it ever move forward if we can't get people to think differently?
Exactly.
Well, you got to think of a way to get it done that way.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yep. That's right. That's right.
The word racism
is
big.
Go ahead. Open. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah. Let me add some things you may not be aware of. Crime in some people's mind pays great dividends, because, you know, if you don't make very much money and you have a high crime area, then your housing prices are going to be depressed. Lower rental prices, lower sale prices for homes. So there are active agents in neighborhoods, okay, who, if you put up the dot or the red color dotting or whatever, would want to keep it the worst color. Okay, because that allows them to have a. Oh yeah, so I'm telling you that as a real. Yeah,
I believe you, Frank. I'm still gonna oh my god.
So I don't think you can. I think you can't isolate the folks. I think you have to engage them. And the problem is the problem is who wants to spend their lifetime doing that. Okay, so a lot of us don't want to do that, and we don't do that. And because of, you know, you can get hurt, you can get injured, it can cost you in your own time and frame. So And if you're against something like that, then you never learn about it. You don't know why it exists, and you don't know how to change it. And so, you know, and you're not a united country, because if you ostracize or have a group of people set aside from the whole, then you have potential saboteurs and people that are working against the system and not rowing the boat, you know, the same way at the same time. So I think you've got to take, and I say this was not, you know, my initial thinking for many, many years, but I think you've got to take the Jesus or Mahatma Gandhi or one of the other type approaches where you have to bring people to you and help them to make change, no matter what they might look like or being handicapped or whatever their sexual orientation, any of that. I think that's the point that's going to help us to be a better people, a better nation, and it's going to then set in motion those things in our neighborhood that are important to get people to observe. Okay, but I can tell you, I've had people specifically come up to me and say that your pricing is too high for this hood, or do things to make sure the pricing doesn't go up.
Oy vey.
Don't pay them much money.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It sounds like we're not going to be changing anytime soon.
No. I guess it's always a goal, though, that each one of us ought to try individually, and I'd like to think that most of us, if not all of us, do.
Well, I think that we can. I think we've got some things right in our face right today. You know, we've discussed this before, but you know, about this situation. But let's just take the speech that was given the other day, on the president's speech, and he was talking about MS-13. Okay.
Yes.
And
yes.
So, right. So, I mean, I don't know what example he set for who, but he evidently. For me, as a military person, as a person who has been trained and taught to treat people fairly, he didn't sound like he was willing to treat these prospective gang people fairly when they're being arrested or whatever. It sounded like he wanted our people to be kind of like TV series where they come bust down the doors and knock people in the head. So I think that's what we got to look at right there, because if you think that if people did and do what he says, then we're alienating a population of people who may not have ever stole anything in their life or killed anybody, but they're thinking, hey, if you do this to these people, you're going to do that to me. That's what I think when I see another group of people being treated not so fairly.
You know, the speech that he gave on MS-13 didn't stay there. His speech got very broad, where he said the police, he was encouraging them to have rougher treatment of people in police custody, all people. And so now several of the police departments across the country are coming out against that, saying that they're not going to let their officers be abusing the public, people who are arrested until they're proven guilty need to have fair treatment. But I thought it was kind of crazy for the president of the United States, after all the police shootings and things we've gone through, to come out and say, I want the police officers to have rougher treatment on people in police custody, that you should take your hands off their heads when you stick them in the car, let them bang their heads against the car, those kinds of things. I mean, every speech he's given so far, people have come out and apologized. The BS, the Boy Scouts of America, had to come out and apologize for his speech at the National Jamboree. Something's going on where I think somebody needs to censor him making speeches across the country, because he's just putting everything in turmoil. I mean, why would you tell police officers that? And now you're having the chiefs of police across the United States, all these different cities, coming out saying they're not going to follow the president's guys on that. What do you think about that, dear John?
Well, have you ever seen any of the guys from MS-13? I mean, they've got there isn't a single space on their body where they can't have another tattoo. I mean, these guys have to commit crimes to get into these gangs. I mean, So, yeah, to show a little rough treatment to a bunch of criminals, I have absolutely no problem with that. I don't know a gang out there that's out there for good. I mean, there are some, public and different clubs out there and stuff, like the Elks and the Moose, but they're not out there killing anybody and stealing and robbing and raping. But MS-13 is involved in drugs like the Hells Angels and different other motorcycle gangs. I mean, why not treat them a little bit the way they're, a little rougher than your average criminal? I mean, these guys will kill you. That's the only reason they're there to survive, is to kill you, sell drugs, and make all this money.
I think if the speech was for MS-13 alone, I'd probably be more agreeable with you. But his speech did not say that. His speech said officers across the nation should be a little more rougher in their treatment of people in police custody.
Right. So I didn't see or hear the speech. And, we kind of got something like that going on now here in Michigan. And I think there was Sessions or something also did something in regards to where you can seize property. The state police here can seize property from people who haven't been convicted and then end up selling their property afterwards. So, that's kind of the same thing, I would think.
Right. What do you think about this? Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, the seizing of property is basically, it's going to go to the court action because I think it allows the police departments to become criminals themselves. And that's the problem with Trump's speech and even the issue of knocking people in the heads, okay? I used to be one of those type of guys, let's knock the guy in the head. The problem is you knock, quote, the bad guys in the head, then eventually you're going to gravitate to knocking the good guys in the head also. And the problem with this this keeping people stuff, and these are people who never even make it to trial. You can still keep their stuff if you suspect them of being in a criminal activity at that particular time. And the Obama administration had said knock that off because I do think that police departments would take advantage of people, particularly people that are wealthy, who they perceive to, dump the drugs and they got a nice boat, so we'll just take your boat, that type of thing. And I know that because I can see these boats on the naval base, the SEALs. Most of these boats the SEALs were early using were all wealthy, supposedly drug runners, these big cigar boats that you guys have in Miami. So, yeah, that's the problem.
Hey, come on, I got a cigar boat here in Michigan.
Well, great. That's great. Yeah, and the other problem is that what example do you set for other human beings? And, do they just grow up thinking that that's the way they can treat another human being? And that's the problem, because once they get in that type of thinking, it is not going to just stop at MS-13. It's going to stop at someone, as you mentioned earlier in the conversation, coming across the border. And there's different types of crimes, right? There's the crime of coming across the border, violating the U.S. laws, and which I'm not sure how, it's constitutional in our country, but I'm not sure how international lawful it is to prevent or preclude somebody from coming across one border or another border. But we do have a nation law that says you're not supposed to do that. So, but if you have somebody treat those people rough, then that's a problem that, with relationship with people, and that's a problem with where you stop that type of conduct.
I'd like to get Shane in. He's been listening. Have you listening long enough, Shane, to give an opinion about this subject?
I've heard a lot about what you guys are talking about. I didn't actually hear the speech myself, so I couldn't really give you any feedback on that in particular. But I do think that the people do have rights, even if they have broken the law, that they should be treated fairly and with the same amount of respect as you would treat anyone who's been taken into custody. I really don't think that police violence would solve any problems as much as create more,
Right. I just have a problem with the President of the United States saying that. I would have left.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If it was, someone else that he let say that, I would say, I just have a problem with the President of the United States saying that at all. So, Bruce, did you want to get more to go, or was that all you wanted to talk about?
No, let's go to another subject.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Oh,
no.
Me?
You.
Okay. I just have a question, and I want to get everyone's opinion on this. Can the President of the United States, who's at war with both Republicans and Democrats, govern fairly the United States of America? What do you think? What do you think, Shane?
Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, can the President of the United States, who's at war with both parties, both Republicans and Democrats, govern the United States fairly?
Honestly, if the President is at odds with both of the major parties that hold sway in the United States, I don't think they have the ability to govern in a fashion that is fair, balanced, or just, especially since you see a lot of people nowadays on both sides that will make up their mind before they hear the issue, that they draw the party line so deeply that if someone is a Democrat, they hate all Republicans, no matter what ideas they have, and vice versa. And if the President is at war with both sides of those issues, then nothing will ever get accomplished. There's no cooperation, there's no compromise, and I personally don't think it's effective.
All right. What about you, Don? Do you think what is your opinion on this? Do you think a president who's at war with both sides of the aisle can really govern fairly and properly for the people of the United States? I'm not just saying this president, any of the presidents. Are you there? You still there?
Yes.
Don, where are you?
What about you, Bruce? What do you think?
I absolutely think he can. You know why? Would you like
why?
To know why?
Yes.
Because I've seen this work before in another arena. It wasn't the president of the United States, but it was the president of a company. And he had two factions, and it was an unbelievable move on his part. He says, all right, I can't get you to agree. I can't get you two to agree on anything and compromise and get and move forward. Sound familiar with our legislators? He got them both mad at him, so they had something to unite around. And guess what? They started getting things done because they hated the president of the company for a while. And I said, that's a heck of a risk on your part. He says, yeah, but it worked. And I'm not encouraging that to be done, but he might be doing the very same thing. Look, if you guys are going to talk and you've got the control, and then sometimes the Democrats have the control and they don't do anything, and now the Republicans have and they're not getting it done, and everybody's getting frustrated, and all of us out here are saying, just get it done. Maybe his approach is fine. I love the rumor that's going around that said, one of the ways I'll get your attention, people of my of the legislator, I'm going to take away your golden carpet health benefits, and you're going to live like the rest of us. And everybody out here in the cheap seats, all of us are going, yeah, let them experience what we're experiencing. So maybe there is a method to his madness to some degree.
What about you, Ron? What do you think?
No, I don't think it works. And I just have one thing to say. If you can't get your own house in order, i.e. the White House, and, you know, just look at his cabinet and everybody that's gone in and out in the last 150 days, it's a joke. If you can't get your own house in order, how can you get the country in order? I think it's an impossible task, and you know, I honestly don't see it getting any better. So I think you know, it's going to be a lot of inaction for the next 3.5 years. And with the world, you know, with Russia now, Putin, you know, with the sanctions, and he's retaliating, and North Korea with their missiles now that can reach almost the east coast of the U.S. I mean, they've got to get their act together in Washington.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because that's something I wanted to bring up. I mean, I'm just a little concerned and a little uneasy about, first of all, Putin and Trump. Is this something they're a game they're playing, or is Putin just being the thug that everyone says he is? And North Korea, you know, that he's being the thug that everybody knows he is, firing missiles out there, and now he has them that can actually reach the United States as far as Chicago. I'm a little uncomfortable with where we're going on, and the president telling police officers to go out and rough up people, as well as, you know, everybody's making apologies for things that he's saying. I'm just a little uncomfortable that we are not in a good place. What do you think, Bruce?
I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
So you have the omnipotent power of being able to make a big change or a big difference. Along the question you just asked, what would you do? What would you do?
Well, first of all, I would, if I was president of the United States, I would use the Dwight Eisenhower format that most presidents have used, and had a chief of staff who controlled the rest of the White House rather than all the different officers able to get to me, and one by one, we have discussions. I think the way it was set up previously was that the chief of staff ran all of the other departments, and they reported to him to see if they could get to the president. This president here goes right out, and he seems just organized. The White House just seems totally unorganized. I would immediately organize organize government, get it organized to some extent, so that people would start having some kind of, some thoughts that I actually will know what I'm doing more than they do now. If I was president of the United States, I'd put my Twitter down and quit talking and just go to work. That's what I would do.
Well, you know, you know, he's not going to do that last part, but I agree with you on the first part that if he had, or any president, had everybody on and off reporting to them directly, that adds chaos into problems, and I would agree with you that a direct line of communication is going to be much better.
Right. Shane, what do you think about that subject?
On the topic of North Korea, personally, I'm not super worried about that one, just because you have both China and Russia that are also super invested in having a conflict with North Korea not really pop off. Nuclear war is just bad news for everyone involved. So you do have a couple of people and other nations and powerhouses across the globe that are invested in making sure that doesn't happen. Unlikely allies for sure, but allies nonetheless. Along the lines of
Can I throw a caveat in the middle of your – I'm sorry to cut you off, but let me throw a caveat in there. If Putin is a thug, like everyone says, and he is having problems with, you know, the United States, and he got this guy over here who starting to shoot off missiles, don't you think he would try to have a conversation and try to, you know, strengthen their relationship?
Well – but at the same time, the meeting between Putin and Trump seemed to have gone fairly well from what I've read and from what I've seen. Whether your opinion on that is positive or negative, I think that even through trade and the economy, the Russians take a lot from the United States and would find themselves in a hole were North Korea to launch nuclear weapons at the U.S., especially the East Coast, which is a huge, huge trade center for the globe. And honestly, I'm not super worried about Kim Jong-un. Obviously, he's a lunatic, but he's not quite competent as a leader. Of people, military maybe, but he's basically just brainwashed his entire country into believing he's a deity, the same as his father and Kim Jong-il's father before him. So there's a lot of dissent, there's a lot of unrest on that side of things, and trying to gather that kind of sway with even his own people, I think would be an issue on that side of things.
Don, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what are your thoughts on
yes,
this?
Sir. I think we're dealing with an idiot. We're dealing with an idiot that wants to prove or make himself look big in America's eyes. And China has a lot to do with this situation. We continue to do big business with China, millions and billions of dollars, when they could step up and say, listen, let's put a cease to this, little big boy. And they failed to do it. Now, I personally think that we're going to get ourselves into a war. I really do. Because this guy has no scruples at all. He's trying to prove himself. No one seems to have any communication with him. I just don't like the situation we're in. I just don't like it at all.
Yeah.
Don? Can I add a question to Don?
Sure.
Yeah.
Don, along those lines, it made me think about something kind of parallel to what you just said, is why do you think that the U.S., as big a trade partner as we are with China, and China depends more on goods to us than us to them, of course, that we can't convince, I won't say carry a bigger stick, just convince them that, look, gentlemen, this is the way it's going to be, and you better help, or it's going to be something else that's going to happen. Are we afraid to do that? Are we doing that and it's not registering? What do you think?
I think we're afraid to do that because we just went through, I think, the biggest meltdown in real estate in the history. The Chinese bought a lot of our property here in the United States.
Right.
Back
right.
when we were going through the real estate crunch, we had banks bundling homes. They would get homes and just bundle them together and then sell them to China. And
yeah.
They own property here in the United States like you wouldn't believe. And we can't, because land is power. And they own a lot of land here.
Well, isn't that, though, can it work the other way? Aren't they more vested in the fiber of our country then? And that, you know, they've got to work, at least show us some more convincing with the North Koreans that, you know, that we're not going to play this game, because they'll listen to China. They sure won't listen to us.
Yeah, but we don't have anyone that they respect. Who do we have that they respect?
Maybe it's not so much a person, but it's our economy. They sure as heck respect that. They can't live without it.
You're right.
Well, I think it's the other way around. I know that we can't live without them.
Well,
We're the ones that made the initiative to go to China and open up that market during Henry Kissinger's time. Right there, we made that effort, which it just came out of the blue, as far as I was concerned, because up until that point, you know, everything in China, mainland China, was taboo and off limits, etc. And all of a sudden, we have secret sessions going on, and we opened up that thing. And I think we opened it up because they have a billion people. And you can't let a billion people not be involved in the U.S. market. So I see them being we needing them more than they need us.
All right,
but you want?
Okay, all right. Go ahead. Well, I want to change.
But you wondered.
Go ahead, Bruce.
Go ahead. I was just going to add. Then who's the weak need person in that relationship? Is it us or is it them? Sounds like you're saying it's us.
Yeah, I think so. I think it is.
Yeah, I think, right. You know, I think it's us. And keep in mind that the reason why there's a North and South Korea is because the Japanese dominated that whole island area. And then after the war, the two nations were split up, communist and democratic. And, you know, the democratic nations fostered South Korea, and the, you know, the communist nations did North Korea. So it's not a natural split. It's a split as a result of the dividends of war. And so if you give this guy in the North some credit, he's saying, hey, I want to be united with my brothers in the South. And if nothing else, that would help his pockets and help his people, because his people are starving up in North Korea. And the South Korean is Western civilization style, so they're making money. You know, they've got corporations, et cetera. And again, the other thing is, maybe you guys read some news that I haven't read, but we're not, in my mind, we're not talking about the East Coast of them being able to hit. We're not talking about the West Coast of them being able to hit. We're talking about Hawaii, Alaska, and South Korea, and that's at their best shot. And that was my understanding even through last week. So the deal
– Yeah, this morning they came out and said as far as Chicago.
That
Chicago,
last time
I
checked, is not on a shoreline. Except me.
Right. Well, Chicago needs a good cleaning out anyway.
Oh, gee.
Well, you know, gentlemen, I want to bring the politics to a close and bring it back to more domestic – for a little while. We only got like 13 minutes left in the show. But Texas is always doing things. Texas or California are always doing things that have people talking. And Texas did two things. One of them I kind of like. I don't know where it's going to go. But Texas just passed a law that said in their schools, the staff can now beat disobedient students with a wooden paddle, but only if the children's parents consent to the policy. So at the beginning of the school year, all these parents are going to get policy notices to sign. It says if your student, your child disobeys, please sign this form so we can beat him with a paddle. What do you think? What do you think, Shane?
Well, growing up, my mom and my dad both, you know, used the corporal punishment, not excessively, but it was effective. My mom once broke a wooden spoon on my behind, so it kind of gets the message across. And don't get me wrong, I was a bad kid. Me and my brother were always getting into some kind of trouble. But it definitely is effective, and I mean, I like to think I turned out okay. I don't hold any animosity there, and I think especially with the parents' consent, it would be a much more effective form of discipline to come across to a lot of these young students that think they're untouchable growing up in this era of participation trophies and everybody gets credit and, you know, well, you can't hit me because I'll sue or whatever. I think it's a lot more effective than just sending someone to detention or ISS.
Right. One of the big complaints is that the parents can't do it, but the schools can. So what about Jeremiah, what do you think about this? Hello, Jeremiah, still there? Well, what about you? What about you, Ron? What do you think about Texas now allowing schools to go back to paddling kids who are disobedient?
I have mixed feelings. I mean, when I went to school, that was allowed. And my parents did it too. You know, my brothers and I used to get a whipping all the time. And I think it's effective in some cases, but maybe not all. And I think there's probably, it opens up the door to maybe abuse on the hands of those inflicting the punishments. So I don't know. I'm a little bit skeptical. And I don't think it works the same for every kid, you know, It worked better for me than it did for one of my own brothers, for example. So I don't know. I'm skeptical.
Saving one is, you know, the way to go. But, okay, so let's move on just a little bit. I want to bring up to, because Texas passed another law, and I want to get your opinion of it. So Texas is passing a law that says that everyone now has open carry on machetes and knives. So now you can walk around your street with a machete or a blade that's more than 12 inches long. What do you think about that, Bruce?
My head hurts. My head hurts. Jeez, oh, Pete. What, you know, instead of having the OSHA diagram of how you properly ride a horse with all the protective gear, we're going to need that for walking the streets if you just want to be a citizen. It's just getting a little ridiculous. And I sure don't want to put into law anything that encourages someone to say, well, it says we can, so I will. I'm not really for that. I mean, I'm a staunch advocate of protecting our rights, but rights come with responsibilities and morals, and we seem to be forgetting that part.
Right. I don't see the good coming out of that. I don't know why. It might be that there, I don't know, maybe it's the growers or something in Texas that need these machetes to cut sugarcane or something. I don't know. I never knew Texas grew sugarcane. I don't even know why you would pass a law like that. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It just sounds like problems, especially if on campuses and things like that, carrying machetes. It's crazy.
No.
We got about 10 minutes left, and so for everyone who loves beer, and it's a lot of people in the United States that love beer, it seems that Singapore took a cue from Activia, and now they have developed a beer, and they want it to be popular. No. They're pushing this beer to be the most popular beer because it now has probiotics
in it.
Probiotic beer, and they're getting ready to release it. And they are saying that it's going to be the greatest thing going because men with beer bellies, they need to be cleaned out. So Singapore has come up with this probiotic beer. What do you think, John? Going to agree?
Sorry,
John. You going to drink some?
Well, no, I'd like to, I know we're running short on time, but I'd like to kind of just hit on a couple of things you said because I didn't get the answer on them. But number one, I don't drink beer, so that's not a problem. Number two, as for the carrying open carry, I carry concealed. We have open carry in Michigan, and I like to be if someone's open carrying, I know who's then the person I have to look out for. They have no idea I'm carrying, so that's advantage to me. In regards to getting beat in school, as Jake and Elwood would say, I used to get smacked by penguins once a week in a Catholic school from first grade to 12th grade. In regards to Trump and at war with the Democrats and Republicans, Trump ran as a outsider. I believe it's more now at this point after this vote with McCain that it is no longer Trump against them. They are against him. The establishment is against the outsider who came in. They're worried about their very way of life, their corruption being exposed. I mean, you're talking about a guy who came in, took $75,000 worth of taxpayer-funded money to have a surgery that a lot of people in America could not afford. How can Congress go out there and write laws and establish laws and then right away exempt themselves from the very laws that they pass? So I don't think this is – I think that these people now that are in Congress, they go in, they're not millionaires, they come out millionaires on $175,000 or $200,000 a year salary. I think their way of life right now is being very threatened, and that's why there are no longer Republicans and Democrats. It is the established congressmen and congresswomen and representatives that are now against the president who's threatening their very way of life and the way they make their money.
Anybody want to want comments on that? Brent?
Yes, I'd like to comment on
go
that.
Go ahead, Don.
You know, what we saw on this one is a situation where McCain was used. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and everything that dwells within. He allowed a man to go and have brain surgery, and we paid for it. And then this is the same man that in 08 voted to appeal the Health Care Act. But when
absolutely, they all ran on it.
Hey, let me finish, sir. He voted for 7 years to appeal Obamacare, but yet and still he had to go to have brain surgery done, and we paid for it, and he still has insurance today. And now they used him and thought he was going to come back and vote to appeal it, and God in his infinite wisdom voted it down by a thumb and told him not to do it, set my people free. Man, what a wonderful situation. Put that in the Bible.
Oh, he voted for it for 7 times knowing Obama would veto it. That was a safe vote for him to make. And then when he finally had to put it on the line after he has advertisements for all the years that he was running for re-election, that he was leading the fight to repair Obamacare, and then when his butt was put on the line to actually do it, knowing it wouldn't be vetoed, he didn't. So they're all two-faced. Every single one of them that are in there are two-faced.
So this is Frank's response.
He was used.
He used the power of his vote to veto, saying he was going to repeal it to win re-election so he could go in there and steal more money from the U.S. taxpayers.
Okay, first of all, John McCain is a Naval Academy graduate. He's a combat hero. He's a retired naval officer, and he's a prisoner of war. I worked for his daddy in Hawaii. His daddy was an admiral. His daddy or grandfather was an admiral as well. So I don't think McCain is dishonest. I never thought he was the smartest tool in the shed. Their medical care is different than your medical care because they are like my medical care is different than your medical care. It's more comprehensive possibly because I'm the government. I'm insured by the government as one of my care providers. So they have about 4 or 5 entry places they can go into medical care, including the VA for veterans, the hospital physician in Washington, D.C. in the local area. They can go into a guy in there. They have insurance plan that they can buy into for their health care as well, and they can use Walter Reed while they're in Washington, D.C. That's their care system. I have a similar care system, except for I don't have to, I have to do Medicare. That's the only place I pay, and I've never paid for medical care in my entire life. Okay, I am a proponent of medical care for everyone because I think that you shouldn't have to serve in the military or kill somebody to get medical care. And we pay for medical care if an individual doesn't have it because we pay a higher amount for our care as a result of people being uninsured. I do think that if the Republicans had voted and rescinded Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, if they had done that, I think they would have been shooting themselves in the foot. And it had been a sad moment for millions of people who are losing their care. But I think it would have been the end of their political party as we know it. And the problem with their party today is that there are super conservative factions who do not believe that people have a right to medical care, and there's people in their party who believe that people do have some right to medical care. So they can't get together as a party, which is the same as saying all white people aren't the same, all black people aren't the same. In other words, they don't think the same and they don't feel the same. I think the only way this thing is going to be resolved is for a combined effort of Congress and the different political parties coming together and bringing in a health care system, and it's going to be universal, possibly single pay at some time. And there are people who are totally against that. So that means that when that vote comes, you're going to have so many Democrats not voting for this health care plan and so many Republicans not voting. But the way it is right today, I don't necessarily believe that they're
– Okay, let me jump in one quick. I have a person from out of the country actually calling in and wanted to make a comment, and we only got like 60 seconds left. Sir, if you want to go ahead and make your comment.
Are you going into overtime? Otherwise, I can come back. 60 seconds isn't a lot.
Right. No, we can't. But it'll automatically, we are going to get out in 6 seconds. So if you'll join us again next week, then we can.
Well, you know, once it ends, your program automatically goes on until you actually manually close the program. But it won't be on the air. That's the only difference. That's why I'm asking.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, we'll stay and listen to you.
Okay. He's right about Republicans, but he's also right about Democrats, both Republicans and Democrats. I don't know if you two guys, have delved into it, but they're not there for the people at all. They're just there for themselves. So if they repeal Obamacare, if they don't repeal Obamacare, it doesn't matter. The American populace is going to suffer no matter what. But for the 22 million people that supposedly will be kicked off as a result of repealing Obamacare, there's Medicaid. Medicaid's available to everybody. As a matter of fact, Medicaid is too available because I know of foreigners who actually come from out of state to go to another state in order to get on their Medicaid program so that they pay nothing. So, in my opinion, Obamacare was a farce to begin with. Doesn't mean that the new plan will be any better. It won't, because the government, no matter what it sticks its hand into, will always mess up. It'll be a boondoggle beyond budget, and it won't work. So that's my thing for now.
All right. Anybody have any comments with Corey?
No, I think he agrees with me. They're in it for themselves. They don't care if it passes or it doesn't. And anything the government runs, post office, Amtrak, loses money. And and it's simple as that. And the 20 million people who got onto Medicaid basically were, you know, let in. They could not afford to buy premiums, and so they let them on there. That was more than 50% of the people. And right now, $690 million a month has to go to supplement those, and that's a government-sponsored type of health insurance. And now you're going to get into
the anything the government runs. I don't agree that anything the government runs is bad, because I'm an expert in postal, so the postal system has nothing to do with the other than providing a service that nobody else will provide to rural clients. Okay, that's why the postal service has their deal, and the military is an example of an institution the government runs that does quite well.
Buying $7,000 hammers.
The BS in this whole thing is trying to sell that civilians who are running institutional clubs around here can handle investments and do things better than the government can. And I think that's a big sell and a big swallow, okay? I think they have the ability to do that, but they have the ability to screw people than the government does.
Well, not more.
The stock market and private enterprise is proving that completely wrong when the government's in debt for $20 trillion.
Yeah, and the fact that civilians can't screw you, yes, they can, but for you to say that the government does it on a lesser evil basis than corporations isn't entirely true. Yes, there are corporations who, because they join with the government and crony capitalism, will provide an evil which will step on the rights of people. That's because the politicians allow it. The politicians are bought by the corporations, but if the politicians didn't have power to begin with to pass regulations interfering with our ordinary lives, then the lobbyists would have no place to go in D.C., and they would just dry up. As the other caller said, the free enterprise system proves that. This is crony capitalism we're under now, not capitalism. Capitalism, for the most part, was fairly evident in the 50s when the government wasn't really interfering with anything. But if you're talking about the post office, that's a constitutionally guaranteed right, so-called right, that's granted to the government, so they can do that. But Federal Express and UPS do a lot better job than the UPS ever will. Plus, the UPS, I think, is in shortfall by something like, $2, $5, $6 billion, something like that. So,
but they don't have the same service mandate. UPS and FedEx does not have the same. And I've worked with all those institutions, by the way. I used to handle government mails. So there's a reason why the post office has their situation, and there's a reason why FedEx has theirs. FedEx is very selective in who they serve and where they serve.
Well,
yeah, but the post office, UPS, or UPS and FedEx cannot deliver an email. An email is what killed the post office. I mean, I used to send, I've got 2,500 customers. I used to send out 2,500 contracts in the spring, you know, and that's, what, 42 cents a piece? And now I do all that through email. And, you know, same thing with my bills. I pay all my bills on WebPay. They all come through electronic billing. I mean, I have no use for the post office anymore. The only thing right now the post office does for me is on Sundays they deliver for Amazon. And right now we're a test bed for UPS. We're getting UPS deliveries here on Saturday in the Flint area here in Michigan. So, you know, the email and electronic or electrics, that's what killed the post office.
Well, not only that, but the fact is the post office is a government agency. Like all government agencies, is not accountable to anything. When Ben Carson took over HUD, he instituted an investigation into the accounting for HUD. What did he find? $50 billion, not five, $50 billion worth of accounting mistakes done by HUD alone. Because the government does not have accountability, they don't have an incentive. Now, if you want to compare the evils of government providing services versus the evils of corporations, you still have to take in consideration crony capitalism. Anything the government does. Oh, and by the way, when you're talking about the military, let me give you a quote from a former Undersecretary of State. He said the military hasn't won a war since World War II, and if you think about it, that's true. Vietnam, we lost. Korea's a truce. Afghanistan, Iraq, boondoggles. What was that island that we co-invaded with the Brits because they were claiming it was their territory?
Falklands?
Yeah, that. That was another one. So we haven't won a war in over since the 1940s. So in terms of our military, it sucks. And I'm a vet.
No. Well, let me just say this right here. The reason why the military has not won a war is because the win or loss of a war has more to do with the politics than it does with the American fighting machine. We, as you know, that we've had this discussion, and thank you for saying we haven't won a war. I agree with you on that. And some people in our forum have basically said, haven't realized that we haven't won a war, but, you know, fighting is, it's very hard to win when you have a political, when you do not have political will, and there's no mandate by Congress in any of those wars.
I agree, but we still haven't won it, but the boys who have lost their legs and their lives, they suffer the consequences of both the political interference.
Well, I'm with you on the loss of lives in Vietnam. I'm with you on the loss of lives currently. I think that this whole process of being involved in the war is a bunch of BS, okay? And I think that we are certainly well-equipped militarily. I think that some of our equipment is cost overruns for sure, and no doubt in my mind about it. But it has to do with someone's brother, uncle, that's got an institution that someone wants to throw these government dollars into it. So
well,
I agree with you about crony.
Absolutely. It's the contract.
Crony capitalism.
Yeah, it's the crony capitalism.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you about that as well, okay? But I do not want to – the Postal Service and the military service, two institutions that I have been working with top people with, have you know, their area of prescription is much different than a civilian corporation or insurance company taking on everybody. Okay, they have to take on people even though it's a loss in profit, just like the military has to do
same.
And
absolutely,
yeah. So
and that's
and government has to do that. That's the whole problem.
But the whole thing
medical.
But see, the government does it poorly. There isn't any program anybody can name, including going to the so-called space shot, okay? Well, the satellites, maybe NASA putting satellites up there, maybe, all right? Other than that, there is no other program that anybody can mention that can make the government shine in terms of their efficiency.
I'll give you one right now.
Okay.
I'll give you one right now. The GPS, Global Positioning Satellite System, okay? And I can name some others.
That's a good system. Yeah, but I agree with you. But that's part of the satellite system.
Well, I can give you more, but that's, you know, that's government system, military involvement, and it works better than any place else. And I will give you another one, all right? United States Postal Service. And if you check factually, you'll find that there's no country that has a better working operation, and that includes its competitors in our country, based on its service area, that it has to provide service.
Well, if you're going to do that, then you have to say, if you took away the post office from these particular areas that you're talking about, would FedEx mm-hmm. and UPS fill the vacuum? And I would say yes.
Well, I don't know if we wouldn't. We pay 42 cents or about for a letter. We'd pay much more to have a letter delivered by FedEx or UPS.
But the 42 cents that we pay used to be 2 cents, and now it's 42 cents, but that's also subsidized by the taxes being robbed from people who don't use 42 cents worth of mail a year. So everything that
okay.
the government is doing is being subsidized by taxes, and what people
well,
should
the purpose
talk about,
of government
mm-hmm.
the purpose of government is what? To service people. That's the purpose of any type of
that. Okay, that's an interpretation by you.
That's
my
one interpretation is
right,
okay.
That's your interpretation. My interpretation is that if the government really wanted to do well by the people, it would stay out of the people's business and allow the people to do what it does best, which is to make their own decisions and to provide the standard of living, which they have provided, and it's not a utopian dream. If you take a look at the 50s,
okay.
everything...
So that, what you just said would be acceptable except for one thing. As an Afro-American, if I didn't have the government intervene, I would not be a free person today.
No,
in the United States.
No. If it weren't
That's
for people like George
bit.
Wallace,
yeah.
if it weren't for the sanctioning of slavery in the South, you might be a better off free person today. And if you take a look at your own history, I've been on black shows a lot, and they tell me the same thing. And then there's others who take the other side, and they will say, look at what the government has done for us. But then if you take a look again at the 50s, because people have brought up, well, in the 50s, blacks got lynched. Very true. But if you still take a look at the northern 50s, blacks had a better rate of a nuclear family. They had lower unemployment, better median income, and better education. So what
right,
happened to blacks?
We need to come in and close it out because we have to run right
you
now.
You need to come back.
I will.
You need to come back because I think you need strong education. You need
week.
To come back.
Yeah. Next week at 6 o'clock, once again, we'll be back towards most of the thing. But anyway, we'll be back again next week. I want to say thank you to everybody. Caller who called in, please call us back next week. And we will start off with this conversation. All right, guys. Have a nice week.
Yeah, have a good one.
Have a good
you.
Week, guys.
Take
care.
Take it easy.
Thank you, caller.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye.